Our gospel lesson for this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of Luke's gospel. I'll be reading the first 11 verses. This is the story of Jesus calling the first disciples. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Thus ends our lesson for this morning. May God add his blessing to this reading and to our understanding. It took me a while to figure out how to begin such a wonderful occasion as this. So I thought it most appropriate that I abuse my sister a little bit. Her first reaction to my application for this job was, "Oh no, I'm going to have to come to church in the summer now." The other was a warning that everyone in this church that knew me from many years ago would be calling me Billy. You see, this place, this room, is very special. It has so many memories for me. It makes me think of the honor I had to help officiate at Emily's and Daniel's baptisms. Now, to judge this in time, remember, Daniel could fit in my hand at that time. But those weren't my first memories of this special place. My earliest experience here at First Congregational Church of Wauwatosa was more than 40 years ago at a Wisconsin State Pilgrim Fellowship rally. It was at that meeting that my peers chose me and others to be part of a leadership group. It was, I think, in many ways, some of the earliest days of the seeds and the call to ministry that I felt. I think we often remember where we were at those special moments in our lives. Some are very individual memories, and others we all share in common. Memories like remembering where we were when JFK was shot, or when the Twin Towers fell. I think if I were one of the disciples to be called, I know that I would never forget that moment. I would never forget that day, that year. As Luke tells it, the call comes after Jesus has achieved a kind of rock star status, a real popularity in Galilee. The first disciples respond to a teacher and a leader who is compelling, a man who is commanding and beckoning others to a new life and to a life of transformation. Unlike the stories of Mark and Matthew, similar to this, here Luke does not present him as a novice rabbi, but as a self-actualized preacher who who can spin a sermon out of thin air, calling others into a power and a witness that they've never imagined before and will never experience again. Just imagine what it was like when he was out there in the boat. He started sailing into deep water. And Simon Peter, the fisherman, catches a glimpse of Jesus' transforming power. And he falls before him in a moment of profound recognition. He's all of a sudden lost in his own story of inadequacy and limitation. You see, the notion of calling is an important one in the Christian tradition. To call comes from the Latin vocare, or vocation. A calling is the work that we're supposed to do in this world. The thing that we will spend our lives doing. A calling from God is something different than our regular work, in that it's a sacred vocation. The point where our gifts meet the needs of the world. Now this call is almost an echo. The world cries out in its need. And we respond to that need from a place deep within ourselves. In this postmodern world of ours, our lives are filled with all sorts of calls, and they come from all kinds of different directions. Some of us struggle to hear our call. We don't see clearly what we're supposed to be doing in this world. Others of us are so inundated by information, by invitations, by the constant activity of our lives that we wonder if we'll ever hear a clear call to understanding God's purpose in our lives. I think it, for me at least, it's a pure pleasure to hear a story of fishermen who are given a clear and unmuddled call to change their lives and watch them respond accordingly. We might even feel envious of their calling. It's not so easy for us today. We've got thousands, literally, of vocations to choose from. Equally as many roles to play in these complex and demanding lives that we live. So the question comes to us, who do we listen to figure out what our sacred calling is? What voices are we hearing? What are those voices saying to us about who we are and how we should live? Can we trust that call that we receive? What do we hear above or below the clamor of life? Well, there's a story about a farmer who all of a sudden quits farming and takes a call to be a preacher. And he's a terrible preacher. When one of his flock asked him how he got the idea to go into the ministry and become a preacher, he said, "As I was out plowing the fields, I saw the clouds gathering in the sky and the letters GPC emerged right out of the blue." He said, "I took that to mean go, preach Christ." His neighbor replied, "My friend, in your case, I think it probably meant go plow corn." But how are we to listen for God? What are the voices that are calling to us? What should we trust? Who can we turn to when we, like Peter, feel profoundly confused and really unworthy? Peter was fishing in Galilee, and he suddenly found himself dropping into deep waters. It's not only about the work that you have to do or even want to do to make a living. It's about going into the deep. It's about meeting the divine there and listening intently to what's being said to you in that place. Peter moved from one reality into a new one. And it was a scary time. It was an exciting time. It was filled with fluidity and freedom. God moves through us in these times. And in that movement, anything can happen. You see, the movement of God can change everything, and we only need to be available to listen and to hear what's being told us. I've learned over time that whenever God calls us, it is a dangerous, a precarious time. Peter responded to his call with fear and with a sense of his own limitation. It's a common response. It's very common when we're confronted by the sheer power, the sheer beauty of God's love. So often we want to shrink back and play like we're unworthy. Or we want to leap out of the boat because we'd rather swim alone than chance it with others. It is in these difficult and dangerous moments that we can arrive at the very core of our calling. That we can hear with greater clarity the assurance, our vocation, our calling as children of God. Now, most of the time, I think we're consumed with the worries of this world. I mean, think for just a moment of your list of things to do and accomplish in a day or a week. Take a moment and run through your checkbook and the receipts in your wallet to see how much time and how much energy we spend simply trying to live. Keep an account of those phone calls you make and receive or the emails that go through your box in a week. How we work, where we live, who we love is certainly a part of our vocation. But I believe that our calling is revealed to us when deep calls unto deep. When our hearts are restless and when we sense the precarious nature of our lives. Our calling may come when a parent dies. Or when someone you love receives a terminal illness, diagnosis. It may come from the loss of a job or the loss of a spouse. It may come in a time of war or through a longing for peace. The call of your life may come through your hands that want to create or cook or plant or paint. Or a voice that needs to sing or speak. It may come through a powerful mind that has to learn or a heart that wants to give. Our deep vocation emerges through our willingness to listen for God. To listen for God in the midst of our living. To the prophet Isaiah, the voice came in a mystical vision. And it simply said, go. To Peter, the voice came as an invitation. Come. We're called. We are a called people, sometimes kicking and screaming into new life. We're called sometimes through crying and grief into that new life. We're called by a still small voice or through a shattering explosion into the presence of the living and the loving God. One thing I know for sure, to be named as a child of God, to be named as a disciple of Jesus and as a follower of the Spirit is to be sent into a life that is rich with grace and fraught with the pain and the power of living. We are a people who are called as God's beloved. We're sent forth by God to the places that we most need to go and where the world needs most to receive. Peter came back from that fishing trip changed forever. He became a relentless disciple of and for good and the world. Even with all of his missteps and mistakes. God called him out. God put him on a sacred path. And he was never the same. Where do we begin? prophet reminds us to simply love kindness, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. Our deepest gifts will meet the needs of the world in this sacred place. I want to close with the words of John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement and devoted his life to seeking God. He embraced goodness as a form of loving God. These are his words. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. I think the Lord is asking us today, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I pray as we begin this journey together, that we respond as did Isaiah. Here we are. Send us.